My dad's timeless broadcast continued to point people to Jesus through the Christian Worship Hour. Today, Dad's message, The Jericho Road, addresses the most important question in life, where will I spend eternity? May God bless your week.
I'm Pastor Salem. I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And every week I say it because every week I mean it. We're just thrilled to come into your home or your car or your business or wherever you're at and have this wonderful time with each other and with Jesus. Beautiful, beautiful Jesus. He is so wonderful and he loves you. You think, oh, he doesn't love me. He doesn't even know I exist. Oh, yes, he does. He knows the number of hairs you got on your head. And when one hair is missing, a number is missing. That's how much he knows about you. And he loves you and he died for you. And he wants you to come to him, see? And that's what we do. We urge people to come to Jesus and then we want to talk about the joy of Jesus. Going to talk about the Jericho Road today. And I love to preach about that. But first of all, let me share just a couple, three letters. Here's one from Ephrata, Pennsylvania. I do pray to God to come into my life. I open my heart to him, but still I doubt. I do believe in God, and I believe God will come to me someday. But she doesn't know if God will come into her heart or not. How would you know? Well, in Revelation chapter 3, in verse 20, God says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." That's the door of your heart, the door of your life. He says, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in." And if you ask Jesus to come into your heart and take away your sins, he'll come. He loves you. God so loved the whole world. It wasn't just a chosen few. He loved the whole world. And Peter says he's not willing that any should perish. Any should be lost. All should come to Jesus. Here's Palm Harbor, Florida. I pray every day to be forgiven for my sins, sins I remember from when I was young. Do I pray forgiveness for these sins for the rest of my life? The answer is no. No, you pray once. You just pray once and ask Jesus to come into your heart and take away your sins, and he'll wash you clean. And he says, "I won't remember them anymore." In Hebrews chapter 10, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And this is what God says through the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 1, verse 18. He says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." That's what Jesus does. He takes away our sins, and you never have. Don't look back. Don't look back. Look ahead, see? And looking toward Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, press toward that mark. You'll never win a race looking backwards, will you? That's all in the past. Forget it. It's gone. Jesus says, God says, "Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I don't even know you committed them because they're washed away." Oh, isn't that good news? That's the gospel. Good news. You won't get it anywhere but in the Bible from God. What is this? Worth, Missouri. I want to tell you how much I love to hear your service. I was very depressed, and one day I said, "I need to turn to God, or I don't think I'm going to make it." Since that day, I looked for a program and preached simply enough so a child can understand. When I found you, I knew I did find him. I'm much better today with God in my heart. Thank you so much. When I read that, I thought of the psalmist. Psalmist had the same experience in Psalm 40 in the opening verses. He says, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And he set my feet on a rock. He established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." That's what Jesus does. He takes hopeless cases that are so deep in sin, they're like in a terrible pit. slimy and you can't get out of it. And he picks you up and he takes you up and he sets you on the solid rock and he gives you a song. And you sing then, start telling others about Jesus. But you have to have Jesus. You say, I don't know how to get out of the pit. And this is what you do. You say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I don't know what to do. I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to forgive me and take them away. And I'll turn from my sins the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. You say, that's all you have to do? Isn't that awful simple? You bet it's simple. It's so simple. When I was 10 years old, a little old farm boy didn't know up from down. An evangelist came and preached. And I prayed that prayer 87 years ago. Jesus came into my heart and he's been there ever since. And he's beautiful. He is so beautiful. If you just take Jesus. And if you don't love Jesus because you don't know him, so come to Jesus. That's what we want you to do on this service. We're just over and over. Just come to Jesus, this wonderful Jesus. And let's see, I got time for one more. And this says, I listen every Sunday to your program. I like how you break down your message so I can understand them. I'm a disabled Vietnam vet and do not drive, so I really enjoy your broadcast. And he says, I don't read or write very well, so I'm having my sister write this for me. Thank you so much. When I read that, he's having his sister write it for him. And isn't that nice? And it made me think of a fellow, he's at the post office, and he wanted to write a card. He didn't know how to write, so he got a friend. He got a fellow that came in, and the fellow, he dictated it and he read it to him. Then he read it back when he was done. And the fellow said, oh, thank you for writing that. That's so nice. But would you put a P.S. on there and just say, pardon the sloppy writing? Well, you know, you can't please some people, but keep on trying. You'll find somebody who'll respect it. But listen, we want to look at this with the Jericho Road. Love to preach about the Jericho Road. I don't know how many times I've preached about it in 75 years, almost 75 years now. And I just thank God. Well, I'll let me read this story to you. It's in the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, and it's verse 10, starting with verse 25. And it says, behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Jesus, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast answered right. Do this, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, and they stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite came when he was of the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, setting him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave him the host and said unto him, take care of him, whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I'll repay you. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And the scribe said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. That's a beautiful story. It's one of the greatest parables Jesus ever told. And it's got some lessons in it that's just going to speak to us, and you can't help it. It's going to talk to your soul. Let's look at this first of all. Jesus is in Jerusalem visiting in the Feast of Dedication. And while he's there, came to him, a lawyer. He called a scribe. And that means that he was an expert in the law of God, in the Old Testament law of God. And the scribe asks a question, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, let me say, this is the most important question in all of the world. This is the most important question you are ever going to ask. Would to God that everybody in the world would say, what must I do to be saved? I hope you'll say that today, because I'm going to tell you how you can be saved right on the spot. Before we're done with this service, you can know you have eternal life. You can be born again. Stay with it. Call your friends and get them online. And so he says, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? That question was asked by the rich young ruler in Matthew 19. The Pharisees asked the question in Matthew 22. The scribes asked that same question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life, in Mark chapter 12. And a certain ruler in Luke 18, he wanted to know, what shall I do to have eternal life? And Jesus has answers this man with a question. He says, what is written in the law? And the Jewish lawyer must have been surprised because he answered right away. And he says, well, the law says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind. Thy neighbor is thyself. And Jesus said, this do, and thou shalt live. Now be careful. Be careful. Don't do anything else till I finish this paragraph. No person is ever going to inherit eternal life by being good. No person is ever going to do it by his own merit. All of our works are as filthy rags, we are told in the book of Jeremiah. And we're told that not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't get it in your head, you're saved by works. That's not what Jesus is saying. I'll tell you what Jesus is saying. Eternal life comes through loving and trusting God's eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his wonderful work on the cross. That's where we get salvation. And we are unable to keep the law perfectly, so we must put our faith and trust in Jesus. No man can keep the law perfectly. And if you break the law in one point, you're guilty of all. You have one evil thought about a woman, or about somebody you hate, or about something you envy, or somebody, let's not spend our time talking about, are you a sinner? We're all sinners. And God says, there's none righteous, no, not one. So we all need Jesus. That's what he's saying. And when you have Jesus, then you can say, yes, I see my neighbor, and I'll hate and love my neighbor. You see, this scribe, he thought he was really so wonderful. But Jesus says, you're a long ways off. You kept all the law, did you? You just, on the outward appearances, maybe he did keep most of them. I don't know. But when he has to be careful what he thinks, he's just a lost soul, that's all. And so we see then that he's interested. And so then Jesus talks to the man, and he says, he gives this parable, this little story that we're going to talk about. And this is sometimes called the consolation of the wanderer. And the parable could very well have been an actual event that took place. As a matter of fact, this story took place all the time. Might have happened that same day. And the story is, there's a traveler going from Jerusalem to Jericho. And he's waylaid, and he's beaten, and he's robbed, and he left to die. And we are told this much about the traveler. And that's about all. That he was, we don't know if he's a Jew. We don't know if he's a Gentile. We don't know his rank. We don't know his descent. We don't know his religion. We're only told one thing about him. He was a man. He was a human being. That's all God is going to tell us. We're talking about just the fact that he is in existence. He's a man. This man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. It was the shortest route by far to go from Jerusalem to Jericho. And it was a rocky way, and they had a lot of caves, and it was a narrow way, and robbers used to hide in there, and they'd jump out, and especially if a man was alone, and they'd beat him and let him die, and they'd take whatever he had and abscond with it. The parable is sees these three people then. We see the robbers, they're plunderers. And then we see the priest and the Levite. And they came by because in those days the priests were in the temple, working in the temple. And the Levite was the assistant to the priest. And so that's why they're traveling. And they lived in, they worked in Jerusalem in the temple, did their ministry in the temple. But they lived in Jericho because such a beautiful place. And they walked about 20 miles and they'd have a certain time they'd serve and then they had certain time off. And so they would travel back and forth. And Lightfoot, a distinguished Bible scholar, says there must have been 12,000 or no less than 12,000 priests and Levites living at this time and traveling through this roadway. And so while they travel through, then they're absconded and then taken down and they robbed and beaten and left to die. And it was a road that the priest and the Levi passed by. And when you look at the two, we're told the priest, he just didn't even go by. He just walked on by. Now, there's a man in need. And if he loved his neighbor as himself, he'd be over there helping. But he didn't love his neighbor as himself. The priest walked by. Comes the Levite. And he comes and he says, well, he's a little better than the priest. He acted a little better than the priest because he went over and looked at the body, looked at the man suffering there. But he was worse than the priest because he smuggled his cow, he killed his compassion, and he didn't help the man at all, walked off and left him. And then came a Samaritan. Now, the Samaritan is a man who is despised by everybody, the Jew and the Gentile alike, because a Samaritan is half Jew and half Gentile. He was a half-breed, and they hated him, and they wouldn't even mention the word Samaritan. They called him a dog or an outcast. He was a despised Samaritan, and here comes a Samaritan, this man that they hate so much and despise so much, and when he sees this, he comes, and he went to the man that had been beaten. And he bound up his wounds and he poured oil and wine into them. He placed the man on his own beast and he took him to an inn down the road. He gave him 2 pence to pay for him. That was 2 pence was 2 days' wages is what he gave him. And he says, if that isn't enough, when I come back, I'll pay the rest. But I want you to take care of this man. The wounded man was no rich noble, because the Good Samaritan offered to pay into all expenses so that he had no place to go. And what little he had was been robbed. And so he's going to take care of him. And so then Jesus talks about him. And he says to this lawyer, he says, now which of these three, the priest or the Levite or the Samaritan, which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor to heal him that fell among the thieves? And the lawyer says to him, he that showed mercy on him. Didn't say the Samaritan. He wouldn't mention his word, wouldn't use his name. He says, he that showed mercy on him. And that was the correct answer. That was the only answer. You see, he that showed mercy. And then Jesus challenges this lawyer. And he says, well, you go and you do likewise. And that's exactly what he should do. And that's what Jesus is teaching. You know, in so many ways, this story is a picture of mankind, of all peoples. It's a picture, for instance, how the devil has robbed us and stripped mankind. Even in the Garden of Eden, he had a perfect paradise, and he led him into sin, and he robbed him and broke his fellowship with God. He robbed him of his spiritual life, and he died spiritually that moment. He was robbed and beaten and left to die in our sins. And the devil stripped us and he's just left us too. And he's left us on a lying by the roadside on a Christless eternity. And it's a horrible situation. And many have passed by. Moses passed by and the law passed by. The prophets came and gave and call, but nobody could help him. And the Good Samaritan came. And who is the Good Samaritan? Jesus. He tore away the filthy rags of sin. He bound up the wounds with his love. He poured the Holy Spirit within him so the aid and comfort to give him. He lifted him up and established his going. He gave him a home in glory. He gave us everything that we possess today. And that, you know what? That's the message the evangelist preached, Vernon Egebraten, the night I accepted Jesus 10 years old. He told about the Samaritan with all the bloody, dirty rags, and he put clean clothes on him. The righteousness of Christ, 87 years ago. And that's what Jesus did. Now Jesus is teaching us some lessons here. He said, teaches us for one thing, the other side of the road is the easiest side. It was the easiest thing to go. Save time, and you just walk by and didn't need to worry about a thing. And then there was a danger, too, because these thieves, sometimes they would beat somebody like that and then leave him lie there. And then here comes a good man to help him, like a good Samaritan, and they might jump out and beat him to death, too. So it was the easiest thing just not to get involved and to travel on the other side. And when you look at it, it's also more pleasant on the other side. It's not easy sometimes to get down with people and pray with them who are in the depths of sin, who have great sorrow, and we just don't know what to say, so we don't go near them, and we don't get involved with those people. But so many times that's what we need to do, is to go to somebody with a broken heart. And that's what Jesus did to us. He came to us when we were sin, we're filled with sin. And he is sinless and pure and undefiled. And here I am as a poor little boy, 10 years old, and I didn't have many sins. I didn't have live long enough, but I had my sins. I sassed my mom, but I never let her hear me, I'll tell you that. And none perfect. And so he came and he washed away my sins and he made me pure. And he's holy and defiled, and he gave me his righteousness. And when I get to heaven's gates, they're not going to see Harold Salem. They're going to see Jesus, because I'm clothed in his righteousness, covered with his righteousness from head to foot. And I'm cleansed because I'm born again. And it's all because I came to Jesus. And you say, yes, yes, I want Jesus. If that makes that difference in your life, and I do want to go to heaven, how can I have Jesus? And I'm going to tell you, it is so simple and it is so plain. And so many people try to make it hard and they try to make it difficult and they do all kinds of things. But Jesus says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He says that he that calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He says if you put your heart in him, if you just come to brother, he says, I stand at the door and knock. If you open the door, I'll come in. You say, I don't know how to open the door. I'll tell you what you do. You just pray in your own words and say, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sins. I'd ask you to come into my heart and make me clean and pure. And I'll follow you the best I can. I'll turn from my sins and thank you, Jesus. That's it. That's it. When you do that, you're born again. You're born from above. You're baptized by the Holy Spirit. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You become a part of the body of Christ. All of that in that one split second. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. How do you have the Son? You ask him into your heart and your life. And he wants to come in. I'm knocking at your door. I want to come in. And right now, maybe there's something you're saying. Oh, you don't see lights and you don't see bells and you don't hear voices. But there's just something that says, I just want Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I want to go to heaven. I want to be a good Samaritan. Dear Jesus, please come into my heart. I prayed with a man. He had brain cancer. And he's died. And I told him this same story I'm telling you. And he prayed and he asked Jesus to forgive him, to come into his heart. And when he got done praying in his own way, he didn't know you're supposed to say amen. He says goodbye. Fine. God's looking at your heart. And when you just call on the name, whosoever calls on Jesus, oh, he wants to come into your heart. And if you do that, you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. You write to us. We'll send you literature. And you can also get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com. And maybe you'd like to help us in the work, because we are not we're not underwritten by any organization or corporation or denomination. It's just God's people. As God, as Jesus talks to his people. So talk to Jesus. Say, dear Jesus, should I help these people? And if he says no, give it to somewhere else, then by all means do it, because we don't want it and if the Lord isn't in it. But if he says to give, and then you say, how much should I give? And you say, how, are you sure, Lord? I don't know what you'll say, and I don't know what he'll say, but I know that we'll carry on our work. You say, I don't know if I can trust you with that money. You're a long ways off. How am I going to check on you? We are a member of an organization, an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and they audit our books every year to the penny. And if you want to get our new song, it's a little Bible study every week. If you want our film on the Heart of a Shepherd, you write to us, and we've given you the address. But now I'm going to pray for you, and in our prayer, we're going to pray for the brothers, our brothers and sisters in Ethiopia. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the multitudes that have opened their heart to you. Dear Jesus, help those who are on beds of sickness. Help those who are shut in and lonely. Those who have lost their loved ones. Be with the young people as they have their battles, Lord. And help the children to come to you. Bless our brothers and sisters in Ethiopia. And maybe they're worshiping with us right now. They're part of our congregation. We're thinking about you. We're praying for you. And we love you. And so, dear God, have your way. Honor your name in all that we do and say. In Jesus' holy name. So we need to hear from you. I'm going to give it again for you people on radio and shortwave radio. It's the Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We'd love to hear from you. You pray for us, and we'll pray for you. And next week, the Lord willing, we'll be back. And won't we have a wonderful time together? But before I go, I need to remind you, God loves you. He hates your sin, but he loves your soul. And if you ask him for forgiveness, he'll forgive you, and you'll be made pure and white and clean. Christian Worship Hour loves you. That's for 40 years we've been carrying this message. And I want to tell you, I love you. I just would do anything if I could get you to call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Why don't you do that? I'm counting on it.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.